Baruch Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu l'azman hazeh. We all have to give Shevach v'aydah to the Rebbeinu Shlalom for zechus to begin a new zman in yeshiva. Especially 4 years ago, where Shechidish Iyar did not begin in yeshiva. It was during the coronavirus. And we didn't have the zechus of yeshivas opening up. And Melo, we got even more appreciation to what it means. The opportunity of learning in yeshiva became very real. It's something I have to give Shevach Leidah to the Rebbeinu Shalom for. I saw Moira Dikavart from Rav Melech Biederman Shlita. I think it's a great Hakdama in beginning the Zman. He says on the Pasuk, in the beginning of Achreimois with Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, the Pasuk over there says, Ubo Aaron el Oyel Moyed. Uposhad is big day abad asher lovash. Aaron HaKohen comes in and he removes his big day abad. V'rochatz v'sor b'mayim v'lovash es begadol. So he's after he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's a whole sequence of events. But when he comes out of there, now he takes off his white begadim and he has to be tovel and put back on his regular begadim, the big day zahav. Rashi says, Kishem, the same way the Kohen Gadol, when he put on his white clothes to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he had to go be Tevil. So now when he comes out to put on his other begadim, he also is Tevil. Frek Tchsam Sofer, I don't understand. I understand when Bishloima, when you're going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so you're taking off your big day Zav, and you're about to go do something even greater, so you go be Tevil and you put on the white begadim. That makes sense. But Frek Tchsam Sofer, when you come out and you're taking off the white begadim that you wore in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and now you're putting on the regular big day zav, the regular clothing, why would you have to go be tovel when you put on that? How does that make any sense? The Chayra, you're going to do a Kedusha Kala, a lighter Kedusha. You're coming from doing Kedusha Chamura. What do you have to be tovel for? Azoy frek tchsam sofer. Zok tchsam sofer, a gevaldik avor that's very negay all of us. Zok tchsam sofer, after the Kohen Gadol did this gevaldik avoyde in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with his wife begodim, he was niskadish al yodo kedusha el yoyna. A gevaldik kedusha was chal on him. And therefore, when he comes out, although he's going back to do his regular routine of Avoida, and it would seem this regular Avoida is even less than what he did earlier, but says the Chsam Sofer, it's not. Because it's this new individual that was the Skadish Kodesh Kadoshim. Aaron HaKohen, when he was in the Kodesh Kadoshim, the Kedusha that was chaveled him with his wife begodim, when he comes out now to do other Avodah, it's a whole new level because of who he is. And in Melo, he has to be Tevil. When he takes off his white begadim to put on his regular begadim, he's going to be Tevil because he's going up another level now, even though he's doing regular Avodah. But it's this Aaron HaKohen that's the Skadish with the Kedushas, Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's doing that regular Avodah. And in Melo, of course, he needs to be Tevil the same way he was Tevil before he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is the Moira Dika Pshat that Chsam Sofer says of why the Pasuk says he needs a tefillah. Zokar Melech Biederman, that this is very negay all of us. We all went through a yontiv of Pesach. We all had the Gevalduk of Ahasiyenu Hashem Elokeinu as Birkas Moyadecha. The Rebbeinu Shlom showered upon everyone on their level Gevalduk Hashpois of a Kedushas yontiv that we all lived through the Zman Chavruseinu. Each one of them Madrega. But at the end of the day, everybody on their Madrega is a whole new person. You experience the Yom Tov of Pesach, you're a whole new individual. And therefore, now when you're coming back to a new Zman, and it feels like you're going back to the regular Avodah, you have to realize it's not the regular Avodah. It's taka a whole new level of someone who is niskadish kodesh kadoshim with the yontiv of Pesach that just passed over us. That now you're that person with that kedusha that's going into the regular avoida of yom yom, which now is a whole new level because of who you are. This is the Moir Dikavort that I think is a gavaldik introduction. We're going into a new zman. We have to realize it's not the regular new zman. You never entered a zman like this because you were never on this madrega that you are today when you're entering a new zman. And in Mela, it's taka, you have to go ahead and be tell yourself for this new zman for a whole new level of kedusha, because it's on top of a whole yontiv of Pesach and the whole winter zman that you stay. I want to share with you a huge question that was bothering me ever since the second day of Pesach. And I've almost been sharing it. Yes, people, everybody I bump into. Yes, my baby Shvacha. I've been discussing it a lot, trying to get an answer. And I didn't get any satisfactory answer to this Pashta question. The first day of Pesach, Leil Seder, we lived through Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every one of us, we went through the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim. We went through understanding that Klal Yisrael was in a Kur HaBarzel, like the Pasuk calls it, a refinery, that we needed to refine ourselves, because B'tchila Oivdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Aviseinu, we came from Avodah Zarah and Tuma, and Mitzrayim refined the Yid that was able to bring out now Am Yisrael, that was able to mekabel the Torah. That's what happened with Mitzrayim. So I don't understand. Why are we counting Sfira? What does it mean? All of a sudden then, the second day, we started counting Sfira because we're preparing ourselves to Kabbalah Satayra. The Yid came out of Mitzrayim, refined from the Kor HaBarzel, all ready for Kabbalah Satayra. What do we need to go count? And now we're going to count all the way to Shavuos. Why couldn't there be a Matan Torah right away? Klal Yisrael got refinement in Mitzrayim. How do these two ideas come together? This is a very ridiculous question that's been bothering me, that I've been asking and asking and asking. If anybody has a good answer, you come over privately and tell me your answer. But Akapanam, this is a very ridiculous ha'ara that's been on my mind. The Rebbeinu Shlom sent me a Gvaldika Matana, and he sent me to Ori Cheskel from Cheskel Levenstein. That Mamish, he brings out a Chazal that asked this question, a Medrash in Kehelos. So Baruch Hashem, Baruch Shekivanti, the Medrash itself asked this Ha'ara. It's in Kehelos Gimel, that the Medrash writes, Ru'uyin hayu Yisrael, b'shoa sheyotzu mi-Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael was worthy when they left Mitzrayim, she'tinosu lehem Torah miyada. They really should have Kabbalah HaTorah right away. Because you think about it, that's what Mitzrayim was about. It was there to get Kabbalah HaTorah. Don't tell me it missed the point that it didn't get the results that we needed. Obviously, Mitzrayim did what it needed to do. So the Yid came out refined. Says the Medrash, you're right. Klal Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim, were worthy to get the Torah. Right away. Elo. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbeinu Shlom said, although you're worthy to have Kabbalah HaTorah tomorrow, that was right away. Adayin loybo zivon shel bonai mishibotit ulaveinu. They still don't have a shine from that work that they were involved with tit and laveinu. They were building bricks and all that toil. They don't have a shine, and therefore, ein yichayil makabel torah miyad. I don't want to give them a Torah right away. I'm not ready to give them a Torah, even though theoretically they're ready. I'm not ready to give it to them because they don't have a shine. What does that mean? Says the Medrash. Let me give you a moshul, says the Medrash, to explain to you what this means. Why are we counting Sfira? A king had a very sick son, and finally, after all the medications and all the therapy and everything he went through, the child came out of his disease. Everybody said, oh, your kid's better. Yelech binoy le'iskuli shaloi. Let him go to Iskuli Shaloi. Sounds like school talk, that's what it meant. If you look at the bottom of the Pirish of the Medrash in Kehelas, it says Beis HaTalmud. It means he should go to school. Iskuli with the Samach. But Akapanim, Let's send him to school. He's ready to go back to school. That's what they told the king. Omar, the king responded, Adayin loybo ziv shel bani. No, my kid still doesn't have a shine. He's healthy, he's ready, he's gesund, but he doesn't have a shine. Elo yisadin shanim v'sholosh yirachim. Let him go ahead, shnayim v'sholosh yirachim. Let him sit around and get delight for 2-3 months. The maichol v'mishta. V'achakach yelch l'skul yishaloi. And then afterwards he'll go to his beis hatam, he'll go to his yeshiva, he'll go to school. Says the Medrash, Kach Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too said the Rabbeinu Shloilom. Even though theoretically the Yid who came out of Mitzrayim was ready for Kabbalah HaTorah, but at the end of the day, he doesn't have a shine. Yis Adenu, let him have a delight of Bnei Beis V'Gimel Chadosh in 2-3 months. We're counting 49 days. Kal Yisrael is going to have Bemon, Be'er, Slav. Then I'm going to give him a Torah. Says Rabbi Chatzkel, quoting this Medrash, Vahainu, what I see from this Medrash is, Af shemachmas atzmo malosom hayiruin l'kalos ha-Torah. Mitzad who they were, Acha yitzias Mitzrayim b'kriyas Yamsuf, they are ready for Kabbalah ha-Torah. Sheigil madregas ha-Nevuah. By Kriyas Yamsuf, it says, Klal Yisrael had a madrega of Nevuah. What more do they need? So be'etzem, they were ready. Mikol mokom adayin loybo zivon shel Yisrael. They don't have that shine yet. And for that, the Rabbi Nishlam said, I'd rather delay it for Klal Yisrael to get the shine that they need, and then I'll give Kabbalah HaTorah. What does that mean? Says Rabbi Chatzkel, one last line, and this explains it all. Bir ha'inyan. I think what this means, says Rabbi Chatzkel. Hazchiyo l'Torah, being zoicha to Torah, ein ha'kavona, never meant ladas, just to know Torah, v'lumay Torah la'alma, to learn Torah. That's not what Hashem has in mind when He wants to give us the Torah. Just to know the Torah and learn the Torah. Elo l'sacheid im ha'Torah v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That you should become one with the Torah and Hashem. That's what the Rabbeinu Shem wants with Kabbalah HaTorah. So even though the Yid who came out of Mitzrayim might have been refined enough from all the Umayyad Sa'ilam, the Yid came out of Mitzrayim refined that he's worthy and able to have Torah. But I don't want Torah just to know Torah and learn Torah. What I want you to have with Torah is to become one with Torah. L'sachid. To become one with Torah. Literally like we say, Ki heim chayenu. It's your life, it's your oxygen. That level, the Yid needed to count the Sefiras HaYomim 49 days. And after that, you'll be worthy with a shine to go ahead and go to Kabbalah HaTorah. These are the words of Rabbi Chatzkel based on the Medrash. So this is a Mayridika Chazal that reveals to us, which is a whole new pshat that I never heard before, explaining to us what we're doing with Sefiras HaYomim. Sefiras HaYomim is all about every day becoming one with Torah. Not just being able to learn and know Torah. You're becoming one with Torah that it's kiheim chayenu, it's your life. And that gives you a shine. And that shine is what the Rebbeinu Shem had in mind. That nation that has the shine, he wants to be, give them, that should be the Mekablei HaTorah. So I have to be honest, I already hear a bacha telling me, it didn't happen yet, but I can hear Bacha tell me, well, Rabbi, come on. This is 2024. Become one with Torah? What does that mean? What do you expect of us? You know, you're talking, this is like the door that was Yotzei Mitzrayim. I mean, this is 3,336 years later. What do you want, Rabbi? Right? Like we spoke about. So, this is probably the question that people could be thinking that I don't understand. So we're being, having Sefiras HaYomim, we're counting to become one with Torah. It's expected of me to become one with Torah. So I want to share with you, it's $1 million Orach Chaim HaKadosh on last week's parasha that I saw for the first time last week. And as you can tell, I'm very excited about it. The Pasuk says in Perek Yud Ches, Vayedaber Hashem ol Moshe Leimor, Daber ubnei Yisroel v'amartem aleihem, tell the Yidin, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am Hashem, Elokeichem, your God. Kimasa Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yishavtem Bo, Lo Yisasu. Don't do like what Mitzrayim does. Ukamaisi Eretz Canaan, the people of the land of Canaan, Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shama, that I'm bringing you to there, also Lo Yisasu. Uvechukai Seyem, Lo Yiseleichu. Don't follow in their ways. Frek the Arachayim HaKadosh. I understand the commandment here. Don't follow in the ways of Mitzrayim and Eretz Canaan, all bad people. Why is the introduction to this commandment begin with V'amarta Aleihem Ani Hashem Elokeichem? I am Hashem, your God. Frek Darachayim, Tzorach Ladas, Machidush, B'mayim Hazeh, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. V'chi Ad Ato Lo Yodu Zeh? Do you think the Yidden don't know that Hashem is Elokeichem? Why this commandment have to come with this introduction? The Rebbeinu Shem wants to tell us not to follow Mitzrayim. Don't follow Eretz Canaan. But why does he have to begin with Ani Hashem Elokeichem? Amarta Aleihem, tell them Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I'm going to read you the words of his answer. If he didn't say it, we would never say such a thing. But this is what he says. This is Or HaChaim HaKadosh speaking. Zokta Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And this Or HaChaim HaKadosh could change your life. Ha'odoin Hashem Tzavokos, Deboiri Olam. The Rebbeinu Shem had a lot of chachmah when he commanded us with this mitzvah of don't follow Mitzrayim and Canaan. V'dibur neged Yetzirah, he was talking to our Yetzirah when he gave us the commandment. Because Sheyoma, a person is going to say, Eich yochol enoish tivi limshol b'tavasa. How could you expect a human being to be in control of his taiva? Ashahi Onastoi. It forces me to go ahead and fall to all my desires. I'm living in a society. I'm living amongst the Goyim, a culture. How can I not go after everything that's out there? All the entertainment and the social scene out there and everything else that's going on. How can it not talk to me? I'm a human being after all. Eich yochol enoish tivi. How can a normal natural individual be moishel and control tavose Hashem nastoi. Dover zehu mishul me'adas. Yichayev Hashem shmirase lakol b'shava. The Baruch commands everybody equally, just don't follow Mitzrayim. Don't follow Eretz Canaan. How could the Baruch Hashem say this equally to everybody? This is a question you could be asking yourself. Right? The person tells me, you know, Rabbi, I'm very into the style. That's my nature. I love style. So you can tell him, no, you can't follow the whole styles out there and all the culture. But that's who he is. One guy doesn't care about style. This guy does. So I don't understand. The Torah commands everybody equally. Can I say Eretz Mitzrayim, don't do? Can I say Eretz Canaan, don't follow? Everybody's different. And yet the Torah is commanding us equally, don't follow it. But I'm a human being. What does that mean? How am I supposed to not control myself? This is what a person might say to himself. Says the Arachayim HaKadosh, you are right. The emes is, you are right. Pilei Plum. Hikdim Hashem. The Rebbeinu Shem made the Hakdama and said to us, Da'abel b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleim ani Hashem alakeichem, ki hein emes, because really you guys are all right. Bimin enushi zulas Yisrael, yeshnoi b'tayin azu. In the normal min enushi means regular human beings. Besides a yid, you're 100% right. How are you supposed to ever control your taiva? A normal, natural individual, and he has an urge to follow whatever he's following and to fall into whatever he wants to fall into. How are you supposed to control that urge? You're almost forced, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And you're right. There's so much garbage out there and schmutz out there, the Memtes Shari Tuma out there in the world, like it was in Mitzrayim, because what do you expect of a human being? Naturally, that's what happens, says Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And you're right. How are you supposed to control that? Lo yamatzei b'kaychai l'mnoya oitzem acheshko yimenu. How are you supposed to control that tremendous desire and urge that you have to follow the environment that you're living in? The Rebbeinu Shem is giving you an introduction and telling you, but I'll tell you how I have a right to command you this. Dabel b'nei Yisrael ani Hashem elokeichem. What I'm telling you is, you are different. Atem b'nei Yisrael, you're a yid. L'tzad hayoisi Hashem elokeichem. You are, I am Hashem, your God. It means I'm yours. And therefore, v'hi hasoga elokus. It's a gevaldik understanding that I am Hashem. B'koyach eloki yenutzach koyach hativ v'gashmi. With your godly koyach that you have inside you, that's how you overcome your physical nature. A guy doesn't have shaykhas to this, but a yid does. Ki hatsuro tishloi b'chaymer. K'sheyaskim ish Yisrael is dabik b'Hashem. When a yid makes a commitment to himself that I want to connect to the Rabbeinu Shloilom, yishloi b'tivoi. If you connect yourself with the dveikas to Hashem, and you give that commitment that I want to be with Hashem, you're able to control your nature, says the Arachayim. V'hi ma'amor, this is what Chazal tell us, tzadikim libom mosur b'yodom, their heart is in their hands. Harishoim heim misur b'yad libom. A Rosh, on the other hand, is in the hands of his heart. And therefore, the Arachayim HaKadosh explains, just b'kitzah, it's getting late, yochol harotzon hatoli b'moyach. Your desire and your will, what that's in the mind, it's intellectual, that could tackle limnoya hachefetz. That could stop your desire of what you want to do. And you won't do things even though you have a desire for it. Liba masa biyodam. Mashaikim by the goyim, their heart. Masa biyodam. By the yid, the heart is biyodam. Means in the tzaddik has his heart. Hagam she is avu taiva, believe it. Even though he might have a taiva. Yivchar haseichel she ha neshama. He chooses the seichel, which is in the neshama, and that's Hashem lekeichem, that Hashem is inside every yid, and that's what allows us to overcome. V'lechein omar ani Hashem lekeichem, liyoy shebechinas ha neshama bo, mashra or shkinyasai bo adam. Says the Orachayim HaKadosh, you have a neshama inside you, and that makes you different than the goy. That you have a whole different level of control that a goy doesn't have. And therefore, a yid does have an ability, because we all have neshamas, to tackle, be different than all environment, society that we're living in, all the culture, entertainment, all the things, kemasi eretz Mitzrayim, kemasi eretz Kanaan, a yid has the ability to separate from all. And this is the Mayudika Arachayim HaKadosh, that he's learning up into the pasuk that Hashem told us the secret. If you want to know how to control yourself, how to live up to this madrega of becoming one with Torah, kihem chayenu, how do I make it my life, Torah? Says the Arachayim HaKadosh, if you have a neshama inside you, you have that ability. Mizdabik mishchinosai, be mizdabik with Hashem, gives you the ability to overcome the urges and the nature that's pulling you other ways. Over Pesach, my uncle was here in Lakewood, and he told me an unbelievable story. My uncle is considered a doctor. He's a psychologist in one of the top hospitals in New York. That's where he has his office, and he has patients coming to his office. It's located in the hospital all the time. He once got a phone call. He was in his office, and he got a phone call from the hospital floor that there's someone here, I think he said in the ICU, that needs you to come up to her bedside. She really needs your help. So it wasn't typical. Usually he sat in his office seeing patients, but he got a call from the hospital floor, so he went up to go see what's going on. It was a young 30-year-old girl who got into a massive car accident, and she was hospitalized because of it. He read through all the notes and her documents and everything to know a little about her before he entered the room. He comes into her room and he says to her, "How are you doing?" She says, "Why am I here?" So he says, "Well, you got into an accident and that's what got you hospitalized. But I see you're doing very well. They even talked about discharging you in a few days, in 2 days. Why am I here?" And he starts explaining to her again, explaining to her,
Why am I here?
And she kept saying to him, why am I here? And he's explaining to her why she's here. He walks out of the room and he goes, he just wants to see a little more, you know, go through the papers and notes again, just now after he met the patient. And doesn't see anything strange. He's going through all of her background history and her notes and everything. So he says, you know, let me try some of my methods that I learned in school, you know. So he goes back in there and he tries some of his methods of dealing with her. And all she kept saying is, why am I here? Why am I here? He tried everything and nothing worked. All the things he was taught, you know, he tried it. He did what he's supposed to do. So he wished her a good day and he left. This is on a Thursday, I think he said. He went home for the weekend. He lives in Brooklyn. And the whole weekend, Shabbos, Sunday, he just kept hearing her echo, why am I here? Why am I here? And it was really going into his bones. Why am I here? He's just thinking about this girl all the time. He decided when he went back to work on Monday that he has to go visit her. He has to see her one more time. What's going on? So he went back up to the floor and her bed was empty. So he went to the charge nurse to see what's going on. And she said, oh, come inside. She said, sat him down in her office. And she says, you're not going to believe it. 2 days ago, she all of a sudden got a blood clot in her brain. And although she was in the hospital, in the ICU even, and she was doing well, we thought we're discharging her, she went to total, you know, unconscious, respirator, everything, and she passed away. And my uncle couldn't believe it. Here someone was healing and everything was fine. And the whole story like was almost pounding on his brain. He said, I was thinking about it a lot. And then he said, I realized when I read in her notes, this girl came from, I think he said Chicago. I think that was where she came from. She never ever left Chicago since she was born. She wasn't someone who was comfortable flying altogether. And she just never left. This is the first time in her life that she ever came to New York. There was some occasion that she came for. And she came to New York. And that's when she got into this big accident and was hospitalized. He said, what I realized was, like Chazal tell us, mazlei ra'ah. Person has a mazel, the mazel is able to see things that even though physically speaking people don't see. And like Chazal tell us, people before the nifter, a lot of times they know they're being nifter, they see it happening. And even if they don't know it physically, but the mazel knows it. He said, I have no question, he said, that it was her mazel speaking. She stayed 30 years in Chicago, she never left there for a day. She came here and all of a sudden, like the Gemara says, wherever the Malach HaMavos has to take away someone's life, the Malach HaMavos orchestrates it, the Rebbeinu Shlom orchestrates it, that the person ends up being in that place to go ahead and be nifta. And there's no question, that's what she kept asking. Why am I here? I don't belong in New York. I never, my life was in New York. Why am I here? What am I here? And he said, the fact that the story happened to him, he said, I don't even think she was Jewish. He said, you know, she definitely wasn't a frum Jew. But he said, like, there's no question the Rebbeinu Shlom was trying to send me a message. And he took it as a Musa Haskell, obviously. That we all have to ask ourselves, why am I here? Every bacha has to think to himself, why am I here? Why did Rabbi Nisham bring me down to this world? What does Rabbi Nisham want from me in this world? We're starting a new Zaman. Every one of you have opportunity to grow the heights. Mamish Madregas. It's all in your hands. And you have to ask yourself, why am I here? When you ask that question, then you're going to hear the answer because your conscience deep down knows the answer. It's just many times our cheshek and our taiva pulls us different directions. But the neshama inside us will give us the intellectual answer to overcome all urges, all batala, all nonsense and silliness. Why am I here is the question we have to ask. Because that's going to be the answer to our hatzlocha in this new zman. Chazal tell us, Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. Talmud Torah is keneged kulam, which means all the great mitzvahs that there are in the Torah, the greatest mitzvah that a person has the opportunity to do is Talmud Torah. So someone just told me a ma'isa, and I think it's very much applicable to bring it back to Talmud Torah. This had to do with Rav Chaim Kanievsky's family. Rebbetzin Kanievsky, Rav Chaim's Rebbetzin, all the years used to have a gathering of a tzibur for Hafrosh Aschala every week. Hafrosh Aschala is a mitzvah when you're baking for Shabbos, to mafresh challah, make a bracha, to gvaldik eis ratzon, it opens up shari shemayim, for gvaldik ashtoyis toivis and yeshuas and atzlochas. And Melush used to get together at tzibur, it was done in her house, and the whole tzibur used to get together and do Hafrosh Aschala together, and it was a gvaldik moment of eis ratzon, rachem ratzon. This is what happened every week. Once she was Nefteres, Kabir Chaim Kanievsky himself asked his daughter to take over. But the Rebbetzin's daughter started taking this over and doing it herself. So she used to go ahead and lead the whole Hafrosh Aschala for the women, this Gevaldika Eis Ratzon that there was. One week, she wasn't feeling so well. Chaim Kanievsky's daughter. So, she mom was just pushing herself the whole day, because let's say in the evenings when they have Hafrosh Aschala, and Lamaisa, she really wasn't feeling well. And it really wasn't, she mom was, she couldn't stand on her feet, like, how am I going to do it? So her husband says to her, you know, you're not feeling well this week, it's fine. We're putting up a sign on the door that, you know, obviously in Hebrew, that's sorry, but, you know, there's no Hafrosh Aschala gathering this week. And she was masking to her husband because what should we do? So he puts up the sign for her and she goes to sleep. She's sleeping and she sees her mother come to her in a dream. And if I remember, this was the lashon that the mother said. Yeah, this is I heard the story, you know, I didn't write it down when I heard it, but the lashon was, her mother said to her, Kum Uri, get up, wake up. Shas Hafrosh Aschala Giyah, it's time to be Hafrosh Aschala. And her mother kept saying it to her. So she woke up and she realized, what's that? I'm sleeping, it was just a dream. And I'm feeling well. And she went back to sleep. A second time, it repeated. All of a sudden, she's her mother come to her in a dream, Rebbetzin Kanievsky. And she says to her again, Kum Uri, wake up. It's time to do Hafrosh Aschala. And again, she wakes up. And she goes, I'm just dreaming. So she goes back to sleep. And it happened a third time. And the third time, her mother got a little more. She said, now, get up! What are you sleeping for? Time for Hafrosh Aschala! And at that point, she realized it's not a dream. Her mother's coming to her. And she realized that even though I'm not feeling so well, but the Shas Ratzon, this Gevaldika mitzvah of Hafrosh Aschala, Shemayim is not letting me get away with it. Shemayim is demanding it from me. I have no choice. I'm going to push myself and kill myself in order to go ahead and accomplish this and to go do that Hafrosh Aschala. And Kachava, she obviously couldn't go back to sleep and she had the whole gathering and they did the Hafrosh Aschala. This is a ma'isa someone just told me. And I was thinking to myself, V'Talmud Torah keneged kulam. As I state in the Mishnah, which means you and I will have this opportunity. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is keneged all the mitzvahs, which means every day you have this opportunity. You don't realize what it means, one day of learning, one day of mitzvah Talmud Torah, one seder of mitzvah Talmud Torah. Do you realize what Ashtoyis it brings down? How much Shari Rachamim is opened? What an Eis Ratzon it is! We have to appreciate the opportunity that we have to learn the Rabbeinu Shlom's Torah. The Talmud Torah keneged kulam. You know, there's a bachur. I don't know if you know who he is, but he went skydiving. And this bacher went skydiving. He's very excited. He has a picture. Look at it. It's mamash incredible. Mamash incredible. You see mamash place 20,000 feet off the ground. And he's there, not even an airplane, not a nothing, just flying through the air. It's taka a thrill to do ben hazmana, no question about it. But you think about it. The whole geshmak of that skydiving, let's speak emes, is because you have a picture afterwards. If there was no picture and it was just a memory, forget about it. Now you can relive it and see it. You see what it was. This gewaldige picture that he's walking around with. Well, let me tell you something. One day of Talmud Torah, the picture that produces, it's unfortunate we can't produce such a picture. But it's even more and greater and much more exciting than anything else in this world. This is not my chiddush, it's pashut. I'm not telling you chiddushim. It's just something we should realize that gewaldic, incredible moment of flying 20,000 feet above the ground, which taka looks incredible, your one day accomplishment of Talmud Torah is doing even more than that. And if you could put it into a picture, you would go crazy for looking at that incredible moment of what one seder of your Torah did. One day of your Talmud Torah, what it accomplished. This is something we have to realize when we're beginning a new Zman. We have to stay strong to go through the Zman with the schachos, the same excitement that you have. And when you start the new Masechta and you start the new Zman, you have to hold on to it as it goes. How do we hold on to it? What's the trick? Naturally, after a few days, a few weeks, or a few months, I can't say, but upon them, as time goes, you lose the excitement. The answer is, we have to realize that it's all the Yetzer Hara creeping into us. You have to just recall that picture of that first day of flying with one day of Talmud Torah, what it did. Don't let that picture ever disappear. You have to have that clarity. You know, I saw brought down, it was from the Altar of Mekelm, by Kriyas Yamsuf. It's very strange, the psukim there. Perik Yud Dalet Pasuk Yud, it says when Pari was coming, so there's water in front of them, this midbar on the sides, and Mitzriya behind them, ready to kill them. It was a very scary moment. What does the Pasuk say? By Yitzak Ubnei Yisrael Hashem. Chal Yisrael at the moment knew what to do. They cried out to Hashem in Tfilah. Gevaldika moment. The next Pasuk, Toich Kedei Dibor, the Pasuk says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayoyim Ruel Moshe. He said to Moshe, Hambibliyein Kvar B'Mitzrayim. You think there's not enough graves in Mitzrayim to bury us all? You have to bury us here in the Midbar. We're all going to die. How are we going to survive? These people sound crazy. I mean, one pasuk, they were mamish davening to Hashem, and toich kedei dibra, a moment later, they're screaming, like Reb Chatzkel calls it, kfir b'ikar mamish, they're being kaifrim. How do you understand that? So the Altar of Kelm, Reb Chatzkel brings it down, brings out this message that we don't realize kaychas ha-nefesh of an adam. We don't realize how the human being functions. Yes, that moment of a Yitzaku was a great moment of davening to Hashem. But then, the Yetzahara creeped into them. A moment, they didn't see that tefillah was being answered, but Mitzrayim was still behind them, even though you just finished davening. All it takes is a moment. He says, a machshava, a fleeting machshava, a hirur kot, means this fleeting hirur comes through your mind. And it could be nigrar v'nimshach. It could pull you all the way achar yetzer. As I kor moed, it could bring you so close to l'sichlus hayoyse gedoyla, to the greatest silliness, that you can say the craziest things around and do the craziest things. Because once the yetzer hara gets a hold of you with that one little thought, you ready could drag you. V'nasa hakol kechoshech be'inav. Everything becomes dark. There ain't a margish cloud bar emes. All of a sudden you lose the moment, the truth that you had. This is how the kaychas and nefesh of a human being works. What it means to have a thought of machshava of Yetzer Hara coming into us. So we have to realize that Baruch Hashem, when you start a Zman, you have clarity of purpose. I'm here to steig, I'm here to grow, I want aliyah, I want a foundation for life. Everything's clear. Talmud Torah is connected kulam. We have to have that clear picture remain with us. Even a few weeks in or a month in or whatever it is, we have to constantly remember that picture of what it is, a yid learning Torah, that's mamish connected kulam, and not lose it with a little machshava that the Yitzhar could drag us down. I just want to end. You know, we're starting Nedarim. I saw brought down, it's kedai to know this. Nedarim specifically. The Lomzer Rosh Hashiva used to say over, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said, if you want a little Olam Haza, learn Maseches Nedarim. That's how he used to describe the geshmak of Maseches Nedarim from all of Shas. Sort of the geshmak that he used to say, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, if you want some Olam Haza, learn Nedarim. And I saw brought down, Chaim Soloveitchik used to say his Ikka Derech Limud he got from learning the Nedarim with the Rambam. Imagine Reb Chaim, the whole Briska Mahalach that came from Reb Chaim. He says the Ikur Derech Halimud came from learning the Nedarim with the Rambam. I still brought down that the Avi Nezer used to say on Purim people should learn the Nedarim with the Rambam because the idea of Purim is always to get rid of Amalek. Amalek is the crooked way of thinking. And Maseches Nedarim with the Rambam teaches you how to think straight. And that's getting rid of Amalek. As I said to Avni Nezer. And I just end off. There are Matcha Gifter, the Talzer Rosh Hashiva, used to always say over that when he was in Lithuania learning in Telz as a Bachar, he heard from the Rosh Hashiva there at the time, I think it was one of the blocks, I don't know which one, one of the Rashivas there, that he said that when I come up to the Olam HaEmes, this is what he remembered his Rashiva saying, when I come up to the Olam HaEmes, I'm not going to be able to get schar for learning Maseches Nedarim. Because the geshmak that I have for learning Nedarim with the Ram is so geshmak that how could Shemayim reward me for the Nedarim with the Ram if I got so much Olam Haza and geshmak out of it when I learned it? These are a gift he used to say over always that he heard when he was learning in Telz, Lithuania from the Rishiva Vadir of Bloch. Tzakoponim, we should realize that we're going into a new Zman, Baruch Hashem, it's a Gevaldik Geshmak, the summer Zman, springtime, everything's Geshmak outside, it's Geshmak, there's no 10 feet of snow like we missed this winter. But Tzakoponim, the Geshmak of a summer Zman with the Geshmak of a Maseches Nedarim, Be'ez Hashem, it should taka be a Geshmak Zman, at the Eilam Sheshtayig and grow, tremendous Aliyah, B'Toyer, B'Avoyda, V'Yir HaShemayim.